Joining me today at the round table is visual artist Audrey Barcio, and that's Audrey A-U-D-R-E-Y Barcio, B-A-R-C-I-O. And Audrey, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today at the round table.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I wanted to tell people right away where they can find your artwork, because I have been on your website and I love everything on there. It's audreybarcio.com, A-U-D-R-E-Y-B-A-R-C-I-O.com. And I strongly encourage everybody to go on the website and look at the current and past work that you have on your website. It's fascinating. I think I told you in an email that I was so intrigued when I saw some of your work, because you have so many different types of work on your website, and it's all very intriguing. So I'm getting really excited to talk to you about how you came to be the artist that you are. But first of all, my first question for everybody is always the same. When did you first know that art was your destiny?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know if I believe in destiny, but I do believe in there are different things that kind of lead you down a path. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the journey, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, I grew up in Lafayette, Indiana, and in a rural area, and I was fortunate to have my grandparents live nearby. Mm-hmm. And so I would spend mostly my summers and, you know, before and after school, yeah. With my grandmother, who was a painter, and she's a self-taught painter, and that's really where my passion and inspiration for painting began.
Well, I can certainly understand that. I mean, there's nothing quite like growing up with art being created, I think, in your environment. So that tells me that you have been drawn to art for a very long time, since you were little. I just wanted to ask, I know this is kind of off topic, but did she have a certain type of, or technique, or style of artwork that she was most fond of that maybe influenced you or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, she, like I said, was self-taught, mm-hmm. and, you know, went through many different styles. She did a lot of figuration,
wow.
and portraits and landscapes. And, you know, I think she was inspired by the old masters,
yeah.
and, you know, French Impressionism. But then she began to lose her eyesight. And, you know, of course, that was really hard to watch, mm-hmm. but she kept painting.
Wow.
And her work went from kind of smaller to medium scale to larger.
Mm-hmm.
And it became very abstract. And for me, that's where I started to really see everything come together,
yeah.
is that journey between figuration to abstraction. So I've been very interested in abstraction for a very long time. And I think it is because I watched how her work changed,
yeah.
so much by losing her eyesight.
Yeah. I appreciate so much how that impacted you. Having seen your work on your website, I can really see that connection with her. And so tell me a little bit more about your art's journey, how you went from that child watching her to the artist that you are today.
I just feel that when I was in school, K through 12, I just took as many art classes as I could.
Yeah.
And, you know, summer programs and, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. It was one of those things, like, I just couldn't get enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Heron School of Art,
wow.
for my undergraduate. And that was a really wonderful experience for me. I met so many great professors and students, people that I'm still connected to today.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I mean, I couldn't say enough great things about that experience. I was able to be there through Heron at its original location.
Yeah.
And then we moved over to main campus to this beautiful new building.
Yeah.
My husband and I lived in Indianapolis for a few years, and then we moved to San Francisco.
Wow.
We moved to Los Angeles, and then we moved to Las Vegas.
Wow.
So I could go to graduate school there at UNLV.
Okay.
And the desert really impacted my work in a big way. you know, you can't get away from just the kind of the way the light hits everything.
Yeah.
And also, because it's Las Vegas, you've got like all this neon everywhere. And so it's really strange. You're in the middle of the desert in a city that probably should not exist.
Yeah.
With a bunch of glitz and glam of the neon light. While I was there, I really explored more conceptual parts of my practice and then diving deep into having painting and also sculpture, more installation-based works.
Yeah, that really intrigued me on your website to see that combination of the artwork on the walls and then also the floor, what I call floor pieces, the sculptural pieces. Like, the combination was really intriguing. I keep thinking of this one series of paintings that you had on one wall where it's a series of paintings that are all the same size and the background is basically white, and then running across them is this like black stripe that kind of feathers up and down. Really was eye-catching, and I felt strongly pulled to that series of paintings.
Those are fairly large, so they're four panels, they're 8 feet high.
Wow.
Right. And they're made out of like making homemade gesso in
a
way. But I added some extra things into the gesso, including bone powder, and then also working with marble dust. And so I would lay that down on the panels and then sand it down with a power sander.
Oh my gosh.
And so with that series of work, I was really thinking about the idea of work, action, and labor.
Yeah.
And I was thinking a lot of my background growing up in the Midwest and coming from, you know, very much like a laborer family, and really wanting to give a bit of a nod to my heritage and my roots through that work. And then that large, almost kind of mark going through them on the wall and onto the surface of the paintings, that was sort of thinking about marking time.
Okay.
And you know, it's
that's the effect that it had on me. It was like I definitely felt a progression of time and space, and I want to say the word effort, which is, you know, like work. So it worked. It was a really, I mean, really, I got it. It was good. Yeah. It really spoke to me. Yeah. Wow, that's just so, that's so remarkable. So after Las Vegas, okay, we got you to Las Vegas. Then what?
You know, you always have this existential question of where do you go after graduate school?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also spent some time in New York as well. And so it was kind of thinking about, you know, where did I want to go and what felt right. And after living on the West Coast for, I guess, close to 8 or 9 years, really strangely enough, started to miss seasons. I wanted to live somewhere where we had seasons again.
Yeah.
Because I think when you are living in an area of relatively the same climate year-round, it starts to really affect your sense of time and memory. When you grow up with that kind of rotation, you miss it, you know, after a while. You know, kind of thinking about where to go, and Chicago seemed like the perfect middle ground.
Yeah.
We had friends here, had a few connections in the art world, and my husband and I are both from Indiana, so it's close enough to family, you know, that you don't have to, you know, spend a few $1,000s on a round trip plane ticket just to visit them.
Yeah, exactly. I always like to ask people, you know, the tough question of, you know, obstacles and challenges that you might have faced, and sometimes that helps other people who are, you know, listening in or whatever to kind of feel encouraged in spite of the challenges that they might be facing. Share what you can with us about any obstacles or challenges that you feel you might have faced.
I should note that I'm the first in my family to go to college.
Wow.
And also to go to college for art is completely unheard of, especially I think in the Midwest. In addition to that, I paid my way through by working.
Okay, so financial obstacles always, right? Yeah.
Yes. And that kind of like led me down to an interesting path. I worked in the restaurant business and fine dining through undergraduate, and actually was really fortunate to have that path because it was evenings and allowed me to go to school during the day and, you know, have stay up late if I needed to work, you know, after waiting tables to work on my paintings. That was sort of my obstacle, was, you know, working the
Aaron.
But it kind of has its positives in some way. I got really interested in wine during that time. And when I moved to San Francisco and, you know, you're trying to figure out what type of job to do as an artist, I ended up working for a really famous restaurant, and I became a sommelier. Led me down to...
Okay, that's the first time I've heard that at the roundtable interview. Yay!
It's an interesting path because for me as an artist, I think that you're really aware of the senses.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
that's true.
color and palette and taste and smell, all those things came really naturally to me.
Mm-hmm.
I also... took some time before going to Heron, and I was a flight attendant, and so I did travel the world.
Wow.
Experienced a lot of different places, and so I think kind of like those two combinations led me towards, a night job or a career path.
Yeah.
That allowed me to put some money aside and, take care of some plans for graduate school. And then when I did go to graduate school, I went on a full fellowship.
Oh, that's wonderful.
After all that
hard work, I mean, that had to be so rewarding to feel like finally you could just focus on your artwork.
And I think some of the other things is just giving yourself the permission to be an artist. I think that's something that is hard to give ourselves.
It is.
Is that permission and confidence. You find yourself constantly saying, well, this is what I do for money, but I really am this, you know? And
yeah.
I think it's not uncommon for artists to feel that way, but I think musicians, actors, I mean, so many people in the creative field. And I think what we all need to do is give ourselves the permission to not worry about how much money we make, but instead, you know, what are we really passionate about and what is our purpose?
Right. And it's kind of just naturally leading into our next question here, the impact of COVID-19 on artists of all kinds and venues and galleries and everything, allowing yourself to feel that art and creativity is of value in a world so consumed by financial value, you know, and statusy kind of financial careers and things like that. I think has made the COVID-19 thing even more challenging for the artistic community, because it's not like we were high up there on the list of priorities for, oh, how valuable are you as an artist, you know? And now we're faced with, you know, all the challenges that COVID-19 is bringing, not just everybody, but artists in particular. And I feel like that has impacted a lot of the artists I talk to. They're feeling more challenged. And I think that adjusting to this global pandemic that is unprecedented in our lifetimes has been a huge challenge for all of us. How have you managed to adapt to COVID-19?
Well, I am really fortunate where I teach at Ball State University.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an assistant professor there in painting. And I live during the week in Muncie, Indiana, and then on the weekends, I'm in Chicago.
Okay.
And so, you know, I kind of have like two different worlds that I'm kind of navigating within. And it's interesting because when I'm here in Chicago, my husband works from home, he's a writer. We stay in, everyone keeps really safe and you know, whatnot. But then when I am in Muncie, I have to be in-person class teaching, and as several of my students have had COVID. Everybody is totally fine, thank goodness. But It is much different.
Yeah.
So it's different working with all your protective gear on and your mask. And, you know, I remember my first week of teaching after a summer of, you know, being pretty quiet, working in my studio, and just, we live close to a lake, so like walking a lot. I didn't really project my voice too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then that first week of school, teaching, you're really projecting your voice. So when I got home, I really, like, my throat was really hurting, and I was
right.
like, oh, I got COVID.
I know.
And I was really paranoid and really afraid.
Yeah.
Because I had played it really safe.
Yeah.
Since we went remote last spring.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I got a COVID test right away, and it was negative. And my teacher just said, you're using your voice more, projecting
mm-hmm.
than what you used to, and it was hurting.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's like a sore muscle. I know Muncie, and I know Ball State, and I'm very happy that you are able to continue doing that work in their arts department and also have your own artistic life and personal life in Chicago. That's a really interesting two worlds that you're navigating, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out in your artwork. Speaking of what's going to play out in your artwork, what is on the artistic horizon for you?
So right now I'm working towards a solo exhibition that will be November, December, this time next year.
Okay.
And that is in Bozeman, Montana.
Oh,
which
wow.
I've never been to. I'm very, very excited, and it's with a wonderful gallery called Echo Gallery. And it just, I'm so excited.
That's a huge highlight in your arts journey, I would say. Anybody out there who's going to be in Bozeman next November and December, go to the Echo Gallery and see Audrey's work. Do you think you'll do like some of the installation pieces, the floor pieces, and the wall pieces?
I don't know yet.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's a perfect answer. I love that. I don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, I have some ideas. So sometimes it takes me a while to really think about for solo exhibition. It's a little bit more challenging.
Sure,
to do.
Sure. To fill the space the way you want and have it say what you want it to say.
The biggest thing is trying to decide what it is that you want to communicate
mm-hmm.
and then build the works around that idea.
Right.
Diving down that rabbit hole.
That's so exciting. Congratulations on that. I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to see what comes of it. I've taken up enough of your time. I thank you again so much for joining me at the round table. I'm going to encourage everybody again to go to your website, audreybarcio.com, and they can find out how to contact you there. And I'm so happy that you came on the round table today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.